What's up? This is Movies On Up. God damn it. I just looked up the tagline. I forgot it. What's up? This is Movies On Up. The music and feeling go on forever. I'm Dave, joined by my number two, my never disappointing number two, Ryan.
Thank you. I'm glad I've never disappointed. I will hopefully not do that this week.
I forgot I was setting you up as a number two before introducing that this is a disappointing number two episode. But we are Ryan and Dave. We are Movies On Up. Our tagline for this week, the music and feeling go on forever. If you know what movie that's from,
it's probably number two, isn't it?
It's a disappointing number two. Email us, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, @moviesonup. If you are right and we pick you, you will get the never disappointing Movies On Up prize package. This episode, disappointing number twos. I just kind of had the thought, I'm not a big sequel guy. I have certain rules for whether I'm interested in sequels or not, like comic book movies, action movies where you can just do the same thing. Like, I'm into those. This list was kind of hard. With Ted 2 coming out, you know, Ted 2 may be all right. I'm sure it'll have laughs. But I'm not a fan of unnecessary sequels or what I consider cash grab sequels. I feel like Ted, that story was told well in the first one. I don't need more Ted. So I thought, let's just do disappointing number twos.
It doesn't necessarily have to be related to Ted. Maybe Ted will be great.
Ted
in which
might
case,
be.
It has nothing to do with this list.
I'm sure it'll be funny. But this was kind of a little bit more difficult than I thought because I skip a lot of sequels. So if
and it's not necessarily just disappointing sequels. It has to be a number two. So
yes,
it's like
yes,
it's, if it's whatever.
It's got to be a number two, and it had to be to a movie that I like the first one. That's
yeah.
where I was looking at, was it's not going to disappoint.
Like
if I
Major
didn't
League
like the first
3 wouldn't count.
Yes.
Back
yeah.
to the minors.
Yeah, so I had to think of a movie that I liked the first one and that I actually was interested in the second one and just didn't like it. Because there are a lot of terrible sequels that I've skipped.
Sure.
That I assume they're terrible. I just have no interest in them. I'm interested to see where you go with it because I think I ended up in a lot more different places than I would have expected. There's a couple I left off, but I'll explain why when we get to our also-rans. Ryan, we've talked about our list enough. Give us your number five.
Number two.
Your number five disappointing number two. Your number five least favorite number two. I don't know.
Yeah, the wording on this one's going to be tricky, but I think the idea behind it, all these movies suck. And I kind of looked at it the same way you did. I took movies that I, in most cases, really liked the first one. My number five, I didn't love, but that's why it's at number five. And then the sequels, they all sucked, and they all really let me down. So there's a giant chasm, at least in my mind, between the first and the second. And I start in 2003. With The Matrix Reloaded, directed by Andy and Lana Wachowski, starring Keanu Reeves, Larry Fishburne, and Carrie Ann Moss. Obviously, I just set it out for you. I liked The Matrix. I really liked The Matrix, even. I think it was a pretty good sci-fi flick that had some great action. And I think so did everyone else. All you need to do was check out all the bullet time stuff that came after The Matrix, although I'd really give Hard Boiled more credit for the bullet time than The Matrix, but that's a completely different discussion. I do think that The Matrix sort of culturally became such a big deal that the Wachowskis overwrote the sequels. Instead of making what I thought was a fun action movie with some good sci-fi in it, like The Matrix was, they decided that they had to make the genre-defining series, for lack of a better term. And I think the result is two sequels that are each more convoluted than the last, and a story arc that, I mean, not to sound pretentious, but to me, sounds a little too self-important. I don't want to spoil anything in case you have any designs on seeing, especially Revelations, but where they go with the character of Neo, it's like, oh, all right, I get it. I think you're kind of overreaching from what was just a fun shoot 'em up action movie. I'm used to sequels trying to up the ante from the first one, but where I think The Matrix really fell apart is it didn't even seem like Revelation was a sequel to The Matrix. It seemed like a really different thing with the same characters, but not the same kind of movie. It seemed really out of place, at least I thought. But it turns out it's The Matrix that's out of place because the other two are perfect together.
This is one of those where the Wachowskis really kind of painted themselves into a corner here because, I mean, there's a reason there's years between sequels. They did 2 and 3 and released them 6 months apart. So when 2 comes out and everybody hates it,
uh-oh,
you're screwed. You evaluate 2 and figure out why people hate it, and then you come back and you fix all that with 3.
Or you don't make 3.
Exactly. So, I mean, they kind of painted themselves into a corner. My number 5, another thing I left off was I left off, like, unrelated sequels.
Like,
American Psycho, and then American Psycho 2 with Mila Kunis. Like, not related to the movie at all. I left off those because there's so many direct-to-DVD sequels. One of your favorite movies had a sequel that was a different lead character. I tried to leave off.
Oh, that's on my list.
I figured it would be. That's why I didn't say
it. At number 1.
That's why I didn't say it. But it was a common trend in the 80s to have your successful movie and then have a sequel with kind of a different cast. Maybe a character comes back. My number 5 maybe would have benefited from doing that, from taking the idea of the first one and not using the same characters. I don't even know why this movie's on the list, because I don't even particularly like the first one, but it was better than it should have been, I guess. It is, from 1993, Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Literally beating a dead horse.
Yeah. But then the first one, you took an idea that never should have worked, and you made it pass. It had its moments. To try to stretch that out, you don't do it. Don't do it.
As if the premise of Weekend at Bernie's wasn't ridiculous enough. Like, the idea that, like, he's now dancing and leading you to treasure, and he's still dead.
Ugh. Maybe it shouldn't be on a disappointing number 2 list, because I think if you went into Weekend at Bernie's 2 expecting not to be let down, that's on you.
Yeah.
But I left so many off my list that I kind of needed something in there, so I threw up Weekend at Bernie's 2. You know what?
So did the filmmakers.
I don't regret it.
My number 2. Fuck. My number 4.
Your number 4, number 2.
Yeah, my number 4, number 2. My number 8. I don't know how this works. I feel like a lot of them, you can say the same thing. It's a sequel. It's bad. Because that's what this list is. My number 2, I said that I didn't think The Matrix upped the ante at all. My number 2 didn't. It was just like, hey, you liked the first one? Well, guess what? Here's more of the same. It's 1978's Jaws 2, directed by Jeannot Swark, starring Roy Scheider, Lorraine Gray, Murray Hamilton. You may recognize some of those folks, because as much of the original gang as possible is back, and that includes another giant shark. This, to me, is the perfect example of a cash grab. In 1975, Jaws was a huge success. So, all right, let's see how much more of that money we can get. Apparently, people like big shark movies, so let's just make another big shark movie starring the same, you know, Roy Scheider, his character, still back, still hanging out in this same town, being bothered by another big-ass shark. I almost wish they had gone the route of, hey, you thought one shark was bad, now there's 2, which now that's what happened. Aliens, Alien, there was 1. Aliens, there's a ton. But for whatever reason, they didn't do that with Jaws 2. They just essentially remade Jaws.
It's the same, yeah, it's Evil Dead 2 to Evil Dead. I mean, you made the same movie, just different.
Quality-wise, compared to Jaws, this is a turd. I mean, this would be, you know, direct to DVD now, but this movie made $81 million in that's $81 million in 1978 money. They tricked a lot of Americans into seeing this
And
flick.
I mean, there's so many ways you could go with it. Up the ante. Bring in
2 sharks.
Jaws was like this master shark. So maybe the sharks aren't as big, but you have more of them because they're looking for the dominant
the
one.
Alpha shark.
And he's gone. Maybe change the location and Roy Scheider gets called in. You did well with this big shark. We need help. Something, not, oh, hey, we have another shark.
But the sad thing is, as shitty as this, it's not the worst of the Jaws
sequels.
That's
why I didn't put it on my list. Yeah. Because Jaws 2 is Jaws
compared to
The Revenge.
Yeah, yeah.
Jaws 2 is better than Jaws compared to The Revenge. So I had a hard time putting it on there because...
But it is a crappy number 2.
Oh, it's a terrible, terrible number 2. My number 4 number 2, also a terrible number 2. It's based on a movie that I like a lot. I really like the first Tremors. I do.
I do too.
I think the first Tremors was a lot more special than people want to give it credit for. It was a good horror comedy, and the characters were good. It's one of those that's easy to like, oh, these. What would I do if I'm in a scenario where these things are coming through the ground. So it kind of was easy to pretend that you're in Tremors and think what you would do. And it was a good movie. Like, it was a quality, I feel, underrated movie. And then they make Tremors 2 that kind of takes away all of the good stuff. The characters are terrible. Fred Ward comes back. Michael Gross comes back. Michael Gross, they really turn up the comedic sidekick angle of it. He takes over as the lead in 3 and then onto the TV show. But it doesn't have the charm of the first one. It doesn't have the characters of the first one. It just feels like, oh, hey, let's just make another Tremors movie.
It's, hey, Roy Scheider, you did such a good job handling this big shark. Well, we've got some underground worms here, so why don't you come and do that?
And then they evolve them and they make them change.
At least they did that, though. At least the Graboids, there was something different about it from the first one. I mean, I think that change was actually good. Every other change, quote unquote, they made was not as good.
The first one was one of those rare ones. Like, I equate it to Point Break. But there's no reason Point Break should work. Gary Busey, Keanu Reeves, like Patrick Swayze, Lori Petty, that shouldn't work, but there was something special about it. It's a really, really good movie, and I feel like Tremors is the same kind of thing. Like, on paper, Kevin Bacon fighting earthworms, there's nothing there that should be compelling, but it was actually a pretty special movie, and I liked it, and that was the only one I liked. I would be for a reboot, though. Reboot Tremors. Bring it on. Jaws versus Tremors. I'd do it.
We could probably do that. Those worms could probably survive in the water somehow. I don't know. My number 3 and number 2, it's the only one. This effectively, I'm not going to say it was a franchise, but there was a third one planned. And this one sucked so much balls that instead of filming them back to back and releasing them 6 months apart, they evaluated the second one and said, yeah, you know what? We don't need any more stories from the life of Jake Gittes. It is from 1990. It is Jack Nicholson's The Two Jakes, starring and directed by Jack Nicholson, Harvey Keitel, and Meg Tilly. Like I said with Jaws 2, like, hey, you like the first one so much. Well, here's the same movie again. That's really what you have in The Two Jakes. It's a classic example of going back to the well. It is another noir, so they have a special place in my heart, especially Chinatown, and maybe that's why I get so pissed off about this movie. It takes what Chinatown did well and really just does the exact same thing. So none of it's a surprise anymore. Chinatown was a great detective story about this guy trying to get to the bottom of some corruption with some rich people in LA hoarding up all the water. This time, instead of water, it's mineral rights. But it's still a rich guy hires him. He's in trouble with the police. Nicholson's character is. Maybe he's going to end up going to jail, getting wrapped up in all this bullshit, still trying to protect the identity of someone that he cares a lot about. The mistaken identity or false identity is still in there. It'd be like making The Seventh Sense where the kid still sees dead people. You know what I mean? Like, it's just whatever shock and surprise and whatever made the first one great about that particular plot device, by the time we get to the second, it's just tired as fuck. Again, like, if you're gonna try and copy a movie, don't start with something that is the Wachowskis wanted to be genre defining. You know, you could look at Jaws, you could look at Chinatown and say those are genre defining flicks. So don't try and copy those, because the 99 million times you're gonna fail. I don't know one that just copied the first one and did it just as well, let alone better. Interestingly enough, it's the last movie Nicholson directed. That was, you know, 1990. He maybe tapped out after that. But like I said, thankfully, they tapped out on what would have been a third Jake Gittes movie. I think Chinatown's great. This doesn't take away from Chinatown. Just pretend it doesn't exist like everyone else did.
My number 3, number 2, it's the only one on the list where I didn't enjoy the first movie. I had nothing that I liked about the first movie. But with comic book movies, the second one, you have a chance to be better. Comic book genre is one of those where if I don't like the first one, I'm willing to give you a try on the second one, because you're not introducing the character, you have more room to do anything. So even though I didn't like The Amazing Spider-Man, I thought The Amazing Spider-Man 2 could have been something. I mean, you had a great cast. You had Garfield, who I didn't really like as a Spider-Man. Emma Stone. You brought in Jamie Foxx as Electro, which I thought was fantastic on paper. Dane DeHaan as Green Goblin. On paper, everything should be better. You could give me a really, really good Spider-Man movie. They didn't. I finally watched it. It started showing up on TV, and I watched it. And this movie's terrible. And it has nothing to do with why I didn't like the first one. This is just a really, really bad movie. Jamie Foxx's character makes no sense. The turn he takes makes zero sense how fast it goes. Dane DeHaan's the lone bright spot, but he was not used right. Garfield, I think, is just obnoxious. Like, Peter was witty and sarcastic and funny, but Garfield just comes off like a obnoxious jerk. The scene that I was excited for, I don't think they really nailed it as well as they should have.
You had to see it in a theater. Because there are people that did not see that coming. And audibly to hear it and then hear them, I think it was done right. But there again, you knew it was coming and you saw it by yourself.
Yeah.
But I can't argue with you about the rest of it, but that I will.
When Electro first comes to, like, what's that place called? Central Square, Times Central. Terrible. Like, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. Like,
what's that city called? New something or other.
And I love, like, Emma Stone, but I just...
The Big Banana.
I hated how Gwen Stacy was written. I hated Andrew Garfield as Peter Parker. He's a fine Spider-Man. I really like Garfield's Spider-Man. I thought he was great. I hated his Peter Parker. You should have been in Uncle Ben's place. And I hate the whole side thing with the backstory and
with
everything.
His dad?
Yeah, like... In a way, I guess it's not disappointing because it was so terrible and Sony realized it was terrible. They had two other Spider-Man movies planned. We're not subject to those anymore. We're getting a new Marvel take on Spider-Man, which I'm all for. So I guess I shouldn't be as disappointed in Amazing Spider-Man 2 because at least it indirectly put Spider-Man back in the hands of Marvel, kind of. But it's just so bad. It's one of those that, like, it's so bad that, like, I still turn it on when it's on. I know how bad it is, but I have to be wrong. It can't be this bad. I keep trying, and it's still just as bad every time.
I actually kind of like that movie. But then again, I like Garfield's Peter Parker, so that is probably where we're always going to disagree. I don't think we'll disagree about my number two. By and large, all these movies, the number ones, I really like a lot. Obviously, I love Chinatown. I love Jaws. I like The Matrix. One of... genre-defining horror movies. If it's not, I mean, that's not necessarily just has to be one. I talked about Jaws being a genre-defining horror movie. Another great argument for that is The Exorcist. Well, it turns out in 1977, there was a really shitty Exorcist sequel called The Exorcist II: Heretic, directed by John Borman, starring Linda Blair, brought her back, Richard Burton, and you know, some other people, not the least of which, Darth Vader, James Earl Jones, shows up in this flick. This one, I feel like from Jump Street, it was always doomed to fail. The first Exorcist is tremendous and works very well as a horror movie, and I think does a really good job of kind of discussing faith. So there's something else working in it as opposed to just being, you know, a scary movie about a girl that's possessed. It's a study about the character's own coming to grips with his faith, something he's dedicated his entire life to. The Heretic really fails on both of those fronts. It's really, really slow. It makes the plot in Exorcist seem like it goes by at light speed. This one just takes forever to really get anywhere, and it doesn't really go anywhere. Spoiler alert. And I think it's also kind of gimmicky. I think everybody remembers, like, the pea soup, the spinning head, and a lot of instances from The Exorcist, which didn't seem gimmicky at the time. They seemed like, holy shit, there is something wrong with this girl. But this one, it does seem like typical sequel gimmicks. It gives a couple physical forms to the demon, Pazuzu, or whatever it was called. So you actually have this physical manifestation of an antagonist, which I think is kind of against the point of the first one anyway. And it also gives the reason that the demon is possessing Reagan and possessing a young James Earl Jones, because they have, like, psychic abilities to heal people, and that pisses that demon off. So then, as opposed to just the devil and evil existing and just doing things for evil's sake, there's a particular reason that they're going after these people. They're targeted for a reason. It's not random. And I think that takes a lot of the the sting, or at least a lot of the punch, from what was great about the first one.
It's the midichlorian.
Yeah, in a way it is. It's, you have some kind of mystical, like, why did this little girl get affected? It seems like it could have been anybody, but her specifically. And then, yeah, in the second one, they sort of retcon it and say, oh, she has the ability to, the psychic ability, which, again, is so strange. You have a movie that's, in the first one, I mean, whether you believe in possession or demons, I suppose that takes a little bit of a leap. But if you do, I think the rest of it you can kind of buy. But then, you know, they're asking you to kind of buy in on a whole separate level, this idea of healing, which I think that was just a little much. It felt, as much as it felt like, you know, the midichlorians, it also kind of felt like the Friday the 13th sequel where the girl gets the psychic powers and she drowns Jason.
LARPAR Lincoln one, yeah.
Yeah, that one. I mean, obviously this came before that, but it just seems like a, well, shit, we really are out of ideas, so let's just give people superpowers.
Yeah, and I mean, they made an Exorcist 3.
They sure did.
Which Blatty, William Blatty, the one that wrote the novel, actually directed it. It at least went somewhere different. It didn't try to piggyback off. I mean, it was kind of taking the...
More Linda Blair story.
Yeah, it was taking off kind of like the Halloween. It's not really related to Exorcist 1 or 2. But number two, this one's a little weird because it's a sequel to a reboot. It's a number two to a new number one. Although this movie, the original number two to the original number one, could also make this list. It is from 2012. Piranha 3DD. Piranha 3D came out and I think surprised a lot of people. Alexander Aja did an awesome job. He had Elizabeth Shue, Adam Scott. He had a great cast. He took this movie that should have been terrible and he made it fun. It was fun. It was entertaining. The characters were good enough. There was enough going on to make you care. And he took this Piranha that should have been a terrible idea for a remake at all and actually had a pretty decent hit with it. You have Alexander Aja, one of the greatest horror directors working, when he comes out and takes an idea that on paper should fail and makes a success, obviously you make a sequel. Obviously you want him back, right? No, you go get the guys that made Feast and John Gulager, who won a TV reality show to get his big-time directing gigs, and take away everything that the first one had about it. It's Tremors 2, but cranked up a little bit. I mean, I like the idea of making it take place at a water park because that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to have piranhas at a water park. So I like the idea that they went there because you could easily just make Jaws 2 again. But they really butchered it. It became too much of a farce. They tried too hard to duplicate everything that Aja just did naturally. Like, Aja's movie was gross. It was gory. It was bloody. There were great deaths. But it felt natural. This tried to, like, up the ante. And there were it felt gimmicky. Talking about Exorcist 2, everything in Piranha 3D felt fine. It felt like it fit in the flow of it. Piranha 3DD just felt like a gimmick the entire time.
3DD seems like the movie that Piranha 3D should have been.
Yes, it's, but it wasn't.
Right. 3DD is it's past camp.
And the first one wasn't.
Right.
I expected it to be.
Right. Knowing what that movie was going to be, you thought it was going to be like an over-the-top, ridiculously gross, gratuitously nude, sort of drive-in kind of movie, which is absolutely what 3DD is. But it almost seemed like the studio, that's what they wanted. They didn't get it the first time, so they made damn sure they got it the second time, regardless of, you know, what people that actually ended up paying to see the movies thought.
It was just really bad. I just think it's funny. I didn't even make the connection until I started talking that Piranha 2 is god-awful, too. I think that was Cameron's.
That's James Cameron, yeah.
Yeah, that was Cameron's first movie. But that was terrible. And then Piranha 3 is when they start flying, isn't it? Or is that Piranha 2?
I think Piranha 2 might be where they were in a lake, which is weird. But yeah, I think Piranha 3 was the flying fish. My number two, as much as I like The Exorcist and Jaws and Chinatown, and they're great, great films, my number one, number two, it's a sequel. It is a number two, but it's the original is better than The Exorcist. It's better than Jaws. It's better than Chinatown. It's better than The Matrix. My number one, number two is Starship Troopers 2, Hero of the Federation, directed by Phil Tippett, starring Richard Berge, Sandrine Holt, and Kelly Carlson. It is not a secret in these hallowed halls how much I effing love Starship Troopers. Love that movie unabashedly. And I think it's a great movie. Dave and I have argued about it before.
It has... It's. I want to do an episode on Starship Troopers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Done and done. Everything I like about the first movie
is gone.
Is gone. Literally everything, with the possible exception of some of the violence. Paul Verhoeven did a great job of making a violent as hell sci-fi alien movie, where again the deaths matter. In this one, not so much. The whole subversive nature that I get from the first movie, none of that's here. This seems like...
This is the opposite of Piranha 3DD to Piranha 3D.
Right. This one right here, rather than just continuing off of a really great movie and making a good franchise, not that you even necessarily needed a sequel, but having the sequel, this one seemed, again, direct to DVD. It seemed like it was a sci-fi original action movie that they had sort of the rights to, but they didn't have the budget or the know-how to make a movie. A good movie like Starship Troopers, so they made this pile of crap. This movie's so bad.
It's very bad.
Casper Van Dien didn't even want anything to do with it.
He needs work. Boy, need to eat.
Yeah, seriously.
What I'm saying about Piranha 3D, though, is like Starship Troopers is very campy. Verhoeven knew what kind of movie he was making, and I don't think it wasn't marketed like that. So I think that's why it kind of bombed, was because people didn't expect this big-budget, like, campy movie. They expected, like, a space epic. Like, they expected, like, a new Star Wars.
Sure.
Because that's how it was marketed. It was a campy...
Or even like an Aliens.
Yes, yes. And it wasn't. It was never supposed to be. It was a campy movie that was just a lot of fun. And Starship Troopers did none of that. Richard Berge shows up like he's going to win an Oscar. Like, there was no fun in this movie. Was it straight to DVD or was it like a Starz original movie?
I'm not sure. It wasn't
a theatrical.
No, it
that.
Has the feel of a straight to DVD.
It was either direct to DVD or it was made for one of the... I remember watching it when it premiered. It was like on Starz or something.
But if it were called anything else, like if it were just called like Crazy Alien Bugs, I'd be like, yeah, all right, this was an okay watch. But because it's called Starship Troopers 2, then
and
it pisses me off. Because it doesn't feel like it belongs in that universe at all. And even the third one, not great, but leaps and bounds better than this pile of crap. And it has CVD.
Starship Troopers is one of the things I'm most conflicted about. Like, I don't hate the movie. I love the idea of the movie, but I don't love
the
movie.
You hate the lead.
I mean, I've said many times that I have a theory that it was a big prank on Casper Van Dien, that everybody knows that they're making this campy sci-fi action movie, but Verhoeven has convinced Casper Van Dien that this is his Oscar chance. Because he's coming in and he's overacting, but I don't think it's overacting intentionally because I've seen him act. So I think that's just him acting.
I promise you, if we do a Starship Troopers episode, you will come around on it. I will convince you that not only is Casper Van Dien in on the joke, but he's absolutely nailing it.
See, I disagree. I don't think he's in on the joke, and I think that's why he nails it. My number one.
Find
number
me
two.
A movie that's better than Starship Troopers. Your number one had better be better than that. Can't be.
My number one, number two, it's the epitome of a cash grab sequel. It's the epitome of a cash grab trilogy. I loved the first one. I thought it was one of the funniest movies I had ever seen. Yeah, you just made that look. It's obvious what it is. And this is one of the sequels that I generally skip. Generally, if I love a movie and I feel like that movie is so well contained, I'll skip the sequel. I haven't seen anything past American Pie. I love the first American Pie. I don't need the sequels because I feel like that movie is so self-contained. I feel like The Hangover was so self-contained. I thought the characters, their arcs were great. I was going to skip Hangover 2. It took me a couple of years after it came out to actually watch it. And I regret it immediately. We talk about Jaws 2 making the same movie. Not to the extent that Hangover 2 was. Hangover 2 is a find and replace movie. It replaced Vegas with Thailand. What they did was they took... Zach Galifianakis was obnoxious but endearing. Like, he was annoying, but there was something about him that made you like him. Bradley Cooper was an asshole, but he was the asshole you wanted to be your friend. They erased all of that in the second one. They're just... terrible, terrible people that I want nothing to do with. It's weird because it shares a screenwriter, but I thought there were good jokes in the first Hangover. By the second one, there's just lazy jokes.
Sometimes you have bands that, like, their first album, it's like packed with hits because it took them so long to do.
And it's the first album of a band is basically their greatest hits,
right,
from the time they've become a band until now. So it's the best songs they've ever written. And then the second album is just the best 12 of the 20 they've written since the first album. This is kind of like that because the jokes are really good in Hangover. The plot, it's okay enough. Like, the characters are likable. The jokes feel like there was some effort put into them. The second one, it's just, oh, here's a monkey. Oh, he got raped by a tranny. Oh, like, there's no effort. It's just, it felt like it was like, hey, 12-year-olds, what's funny? And that's what it was. And I'm never one to say, like, oh, the potty humor. This movie had too much potty humor for me to enjoy. I love good potty humor. This wasn't good potty humor. This wasn't good humor. It's nothing. It shouldn't have existed. I skipped the third one because no reason for it. And this does the thing of, like, bringing characters back that there's no reason for them to be back. Chang was such an awkward interaction in the first one, and it's a terrible, terrible, terrible movie. That's why I generally skip sequels. Like, I love American Pie. If I'd seen 2 through 4, I may have less love for that movie. So that's generally why I skip them. In my theory, shouldn't make you like the original less. Hangover 2 kind of does, because it makes me hate those characters that much that when I go back and watch The Hangover, I see the characters from Hangover 2, and I don't care about them. I want terrible things to happen to them because they're terrible people. It kind of disproves my theory that you can make the first one worse, I guess, by a terrible number 2.
Well, that's good that it's your number 1 then. If it disproves your theory, it's so bad that it, you know.
And that's kind
of
why
rule.
I put it there, because I do love the first Hangover. That was one of my favorite movie-going experiences. It's up there with Superbad. It's like the hardest I've ever laughed in a theater. It should have ended at that. Like, I understand wanting to make money. And I mean, because you also had Due Date, which was Todd Phillips trying to duplicate the same thing. And I could go on about how much I hate that. What about your, do you have any also-ran disappointing number 2s?
There were 2 that I had on here and I took off. I thought Book of Shadows because, but now that I know kind of how you did your list, I'm not surprised.
And that's
that you
why
didn't
that wasn't
on
mine because yeah. It had nothing to do with the first movie.
And, yeah, and I didn't know that you were going to take that approach. I just know how much you like Blair Witch, and yeah. I thought that as big of a steaming pile of shit as that was, it might be on there. One that I very nearly had on my number 5, but I couldn't in good conscience say that I like The Highlander more than I like The Matrix. But that one pissed me off. Because
Highlander
it took,
2 was pretty
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, it took them from being just like immortals, and they midichlorianed them. Oh, now they're just fucking aliens.
Yeah.
That was dumb.
Highlander...
why is he even a Highlander? He's a goddamn alien.
They just kept getting worse, too. Like, Endgame was even worse than 2. I had a couple. Attack of the Clones, only because it was so bad after rewatching it. Phantom Menace really didn't have my expectations high.
I'll watch Attack of the Clones before any of these 5.
Die Hard 2, but it's not terrible. It's just not.
Because it's Die Hard 2. There's a big chasm between 1 and 2.
And that's why they fixed it with the third one. Because Die Hard 3 is a completely different movie than Die Hard. And 2 is just kind of sandwiched between them. 2's okay in its own right. As an action movie, it could be called anything. It really could. And it's an okay action movie. But Die Hard was special. I don't think Die Hard's a great action movie. I think Die Hard's a great movie. Die Hard 2 is an okay action movie. Die Hard 3 is a great action movie. So, like, it's kind of sandwiched between. Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. I realize they get crapped on so much. The first one had its moments. The first one had its charm to it that I feel like this is one. The second one was so bad that it made people point out the flaws of the first one. Where if the second one would have been good, I don't think people would have nitpicked the first one as much. Because the first one wasn't terrible. McMahon was good as Doom. Johnny Storm was great. I didn't think it was terrible. Nightmare on Elm Street 2 is really bad, but we had a whole episode on that. And that one's weird because I think I said in our Nightmare on Elm Street episode, if that would have been like 4 or 5 in the series, its placing is bad. If it had been the fourth or fifth, it would have been not as bad. And then the one that I wanted to be number one, but I'll admit if I'm wrong on a movie, and this is one that I feel like I'm letting my opinions get in the way, 28 Days Later is my favorite movie ever. It's so self-contained, it does not need a sequel. 28 Weeks Later comes out. Everything about this movie I should love. Renner, Idris Elba, Rose Byrne, Imogen Poots. Everything about it I should love. I skipped it for a long time and then finally watched it, and it just, it's not 28 Days Later, and it wants to be so bad. And I just, like Robert Carlyle, there's a helicopter zombie scene that should be one of my favorite movie scenes ever because it should be awesome, but I'm sure this is a good movie. There's too many people involved in it that are great for this not to be a good movie, but I can't look at it as a good movie. I don't know if it's just that my love for 28 Days Later is so strong that I can't accept anything else. It lacks everything that I loved about 28 Days Later. I'm sure it's a fine zombie movie.
It's a different movie. I think a lot of people will probably, and rightfully so, that's 28 Days Later is better than 28 Weeks Later in the same way that Night of the Living Dead is better than Dawn of the Dead. But I think it's interesting to go back, and the reason I picked those two specifically out is because it shows you, all right, you have a zombie apocalypse. What's next? And I like that part of it. What I like about each of those sequels is there's some sort of response. There's some sort of containment. I really enjoyed that part of it.
That's why I left it off, because I have badmouthed it quite a bit. I think I need to rewatch it from the beginning and try to get it out of my head what I'm watching. Like, I think I need to watch it as 28 Weeks Later and not 28 Days Later 2.
Right. Yeah.
I think I need to get in that mindset because, like, I love Rose
Byrne.
Which
is why it's not called 28 Days Later.
Yeah, exactly.
2, or 30 Days Later.
Because, like, I love Rose Byrne. I love Renner. I love Elba. Like, I love Imogen Poots, even though she's really young in this movie. But Carlisle's really good. There's some stuff in it that I legitimately don't like. I don't like coincidental zombies. Like, I don't like, oh, she happens to be alone and the zombie that she faces in the subway, what do you know? It's
sure.
her dad.
Right.
Of all the quote-unquote zombie, of all the infecteds,
right,
it's her dad. And so stuff like that I don't like. There's some cool stuff. It's missing Boyle's direction. It's missing Garland's writing. Maybe in October we should do a 28 Weeks Later episode. Maybe I should just watch it with fresh eyes and go from there. That's the reason I left it off my list, because I'm willing to admit if I'm wrong, and part of me thinks I might be wrong, but we'll see. That's our favorite disappointing number twos, I guess.
Hopefully you weren't disappointed with that episode.
Yeah, we usually try to keep episodes kind of positive. This one was kind of hard too, but that's fine. We'll mix it up a little bit, like when we did our Chronicle episode. I'm Ryan. No, I'm Dave, and he's Ryan. You can find more of me, DaveBasella.com, or at DaveBasella on Twitter. Next week, episode 3.
Yeah, it is not a number 2, and I don't think it's disappointing. It finally pulled me out of that down.
It'd be hard to disappoint it after 1 and 2.
That's true.
We're continuing our monthly Star Wars watching with Revenge of the Sith, and week after that is one of my favorite shows of the year. It's our halftime show. We're going to announce some stuff about the show that hopefully, if you're listening, you will care
about.
What
are we announcing?
We'll find out at the halftime show.
Oh, all right.
So the next couple weeks will be good. I mean, as good as we can be, I guess. I don't know. That's objective.
If you think the last couple weeks have been good, yeah, the next ones will be too.
But if we missed your favorite disappointing number two, or if there's a number two that you feel is so disappointing, like we didn't mention Grease 2, which I'm sure a lot of people would. But that another one of those.
There's a lot of terrible movies.
There's a lot of sequels. And like I said, I skipped a lot of them. So that's why Mannequin 2 wasn't on my list. I thought Teen Wolf 2 would be on your list. What was your number one?
My number one was Starship Troopers 2.
Oh, okay. See, I thought it would be Teen Wolf 2. That's why I didn't mention Teen Wolf.
Yeah, Teen Wolf 2 probably could have made it on there, except I don't hate it. It's not Teen Wolf. It's not It's not the classic bit of cinema that Teen Wolf was.
But yeah, so that's it. Until next week.
Keep it up.